evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast for Sunday, October 5th, 2014, are John Scanlon.
Hey, everybody.
And Jeff Swearingen.
Good evening.
Now, tonight on the podcast, we're going to explore the deeply underappreciated Fort Wilderness cabins and campgrounds. But before we get to that discussion, I want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Next time your family's considering a themed entertainment destination like Walt Disney World, Disneyland, the Disney Cruise Line, heck, even Universal Parks and Resorts, or one of those other cruise lines sailing the seas, consider working with a Fairytale Journeys travel agent. They'd love to take care of all the details so that you can relax and they can take care of all the stressful stuff. It costs you nothing additional to work with a Fairytale Journeys agent. It's just like booking directly with the destinations, except they handle the heavy lifting and are available to share their experience and expertise to make your vacation the best it can possibly be. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. Okay, guys, Fort Wilderness, really the first time we talked about it on the Diz Dad podcast at all was during the resort tournament this past summer. And I really felt like there was enough material here that people were curious about and asking questions about that it was worth it to devote a whole show to exploring this unique resort and learning a little bit more about it. John, why don't you get us started here by giving us kind of a picture of the setting of Fort Wilderness, where it's located on property, and kind of orient us to the rest of the Walt Disney World Resort in relation to Fort Wilderness cabins and campgrounds.
Sure. Fort Wilderness, it's a Magic Kingdom resort. You actually go through the gates to Magic Kingdom. And then as soon as you come through, you make an immediate right, and then it's like you're no longer at Walt Disney World. I mean, you have trees lining the roadway. You'll see deer. You'll see turkeys. And that's before you even get to the entrance. And then you get to the entrance, and typical of any Disney resort, the theming begins as soon as you pull in. What's unique to Fort Wilderness, and for obvious reasons, is you don't have to actually get out of your vehicle to check in. You pull through a large set of bays, and a cast member will come up to your window, or you'll pull up, depending on where you kind of end up in line. And they'll check in right from the comfort of your seat, your RV seat, your tow vehicle seat, and they'll give you your site number, and you're off. But Fort Wilderness, to me, it's two separate animals. It's a campground first and foremost, and as you're pulling through, it looks like a nice campground. It's got heavy foliage. It's got everything that you would expect from a campground. You wouldn't really know that you're at Disney. I mean, it's not something that hits you over the head. There's not Mickey Mouse's everywhere and characters everywhere, but what you get from Disney is basically it's like a campground on steroids. It's got everything that you would want from a campground: the cleanliness, just in general, it's just well kept. But then you get the extra amenities from Disney. I mean, as soon as you're leaving from checking in, you have to be careful because there could be riders on horseback coming across the road, so you really have to watch out.
Now, we'll talk in detail about some of these recreational experiences that are available, but, I think that one of the things about Fort Wilderness that I love is that I think we make a mistake sometimes when we talk about things having a Disney feel, and that automatically has to mean, Fab Five characters or, Art of Animation type movie theming. Jeff, maybe talk a little bit about the way that Disney applies its sort of concepts of immersive theming to that Fort Wilderness atmosphere.
Well, when you're in Fort Wilderness, you really feel like you are in a completely separate environment that no one else can see. You are back in rustic Florida. isolated from everything. If you wander around the resort at night, you can't hear anything else except for the animals and an occasional car. You don't feel like you're constantly going to be at a theme park, and there isn't as much running around as you would find in your typical hotel that you'd find on property. But the big thing is you do feel like you've stepped into a completely different world that is isolated from everything that is around you.
Okay, okay. So it is. It's Disney immersion without being, hit over the head with Disney animation and characters. And I think that to me is really kind of the signature of Fort Wilderness. It's also got some unique accommodation options. It frankly is unlike any other on-property Disney resort. You know, the classic standard Disney accommodation is a hotel room that presumes a family of four, and Fort Wilderness is really anything but. Jeff, why don't you start with a description of the Fort Wilderness cabins?
Fort Wilderness cabins typically have, I believe, one bedroom and then a couple of pull-out beds in the living room. They have a kitchenette and a full bath, and each is almost like a mobile home with a couple of parking spots on it, and you have access to a charcoal grill on the patio as well. They have full water, so you don't have to worry about any issues with that, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're essentially a standalone log cabin with, as you mentioned, a bedroom that has a double bed and then a set of bunk beds. And then in the sort of living room area, there's a classic traditional Murphy bed, double bed that folds down from the wall. So it is, outside of a family suite, one of the few options at Walt Disney World that accommodates a family of six in a standard room. And you do get that, equipped kitchen. It's not a huge kitchen, but it's large enough that you could manage, breakfasts easily and probably the occasional, lunch or dinner meal if you're looking to save a little bit on your food costs with a larger family staying at a Walt Disney World on-property resort.
Right. And the other thing that you should probably remember is that, like every other hotel room on property, the cabins do have a television that has full cable. So if your kids need to watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse every morning, you've got access to it right there.
Sure, sure. Or if your, husband has to see the NFL games on Sunday. All right. So, John, you're a more seasoned camper. Talk to us about the options in the campgrounds at Fort Wilderness. Because it's not, it's not a simple, rectangle of grass per person necessarily.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, we like to camp. We camp all over Florida. And, I'm a huge Disney fan, obviously. But Fort Wilderness is by far the best campground that we stay at. And it's for a variety of reasons. And you kind of alluded to the fact that Disney isn't always just about the Fab Five characters. But to me, what kind of where you get the Disney incorporation into Fort Wilderness is just the quality of it. We've camped in all three variety of campsites. Basically, you have an option if you have a smaller, if you're just camping in a tent, or if you have a pop-up camper, they have a special site for that, and that's obviously the cheapest. And that's actually one of the cheapest, it is the cheapest place you can stay on Disney property. It runs from anywhere between $40 a night to, during the busy season, it could get up around $90 a night. But you get all the same amenities. The only thing you don't get is sewer. You'll get water, you'll get cable. So if you have a TV in your pop-up, you can get cable, and you'll have electric. And each site is, in the pop-up, it's mostly shell rock or gravel. You'll have a picnic table, you'll have a grill. And they have several bathhouses throughout. Now, the nice thing for me as a camper, having stayed at other places, is the bathhouses are, the comfort stations are heated and air-conditioned, which you really, you won't get at the state parks. So we've camped in North Florida in December and had temperatures of 30 degrees, and you're trying to take a shower in an open-air comfort station is not fun. You don't have to deal with that at Disney. Or in the summertime when it gets to be 100 degrees, it's air-conditioned in there. So that's a nice thing. The other thing that all the campsites have is a trash can at the end of them. And you wouldn't think that's a big deal, except for at the end of the night when you have to take out your trash and you have to walk, you know, a quarter mile to the dumpster, and you have to fight off the, you know, the raccoons that are going there for dinner. You don't have to deal with that at Disney. Then, if you have a bigger camping vehicle, either an RV or a travel trailer, a fifth wheel, then you can stay in one of their three full hookup sites. It's either the full hookup site, which is the cheapest, and that runs around anywhere between $66 and I think $124, depending on the time of year. The really the only difference between that and the pop-up site is they're a little bit longer. Other than that, it's really not much. They're a little bit closer to everything, but not much difference as far as that goes. You're still going to need some type of transportation to get to either the pool or the waterfront. And then they have a preferred, which is next in line, and that's got a little bit more paved. It's less shell rock, less sand, which is nice if you have kids tracking stuff in. Also, the locations are prime. That's down near the waterfront. That's down near the pool. So you can walk to everything, which is nice. And I think we'll get to the transportation issues later there.
Sure.
And that runs between $75 and $133, depending on the time of year. And then lastly, they have the premium sites, which are completely paved. Those are the ones that you know, having camped there several times, that's the ones that we opt for. They're in good locations between the pool and the waterfront, and they run between about $80 and $137, depending on the time of year. And all of them will have a grill. They'll all have a picnic table. And the space will vary. The premium sites are a little bit bigger. But they're excellent sites. It's not, you don't have to worry about, you know, being able to back into a tight space. You have plenty of room if you have to back your vehicle in. You have plenty of room to set out outdoor living if you know, you're planning on, you know, spending most of your time outdoors, which most campers are. It's really, it's just phenomenal. It's really nice.
And then, you know, you can even go, you know, almost bare bones camping at Walt Disney World. And, you know, Jeff, you even experienced tent camping at Walt Disney World.
That's right. I did it on one of the smaller partial hookup sites, but they also have primitive camping sites that are available on Creekside Meadow. Those are usually reserved for large groups such as the Scouts. But from what I understand, when the Scouts aren't there, you can get access to those as well.
Okay, that's nice. And again, we're talking about, you know, yes, it's a campground, but it's a among the best maintained campgrounds you're going to find anywhere in the country. You know,
absolutely.
They're going to be well manicured. You're going to have you know, unusually good sanitation service. You know, it's campgrounds to Disney standards.
And just as an example of that, Aaron, the last time we were there, we went 4th of July this past year, and we went out down to the waterfront area, and we got caught in just an absolute downpour. I mean, we were stuck in the gift shop, the trading post, for about an hour. Well, it just was coming down. And then it let up, and eventually we started walking back to our campsite, and there was a cast member pressure washing the sidewalk off because it had gotten dirty from the downpour. And obviously you're not going to find that anywhere else. I mean, it's just the sidewalk and it's camping. You expect to get dirty, but that's the care that they put into the campground.
Yeah, that's a great example. And we should mention that, again, this is one of those options that can really help if you need to accommodate a large group. You know, the cabins can accommodate up to six. Each campground slot can play host to up to 10 individuals. So you can have 10 people on a single campground reservation, and that means 10 Magic Bands, you know, 10 people with access to extra magic hours, all of those things that sometimes you think, you know, the only way we can afford to come to Walt Disney World with a big group like that is to stay somewhere off-site. There are actually on-site options that give you those on-site bonuses of, you know, early FastPass Plus reservations and extra magic hours that are right there on property within budget if camping is an option for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's by far the most affordable way to stay. It just depends. And another thing that people will get turned off by is, you know, they don't want to camp in a tent and they don't have a an RV or a trailer or anything like that. And they don't want to stay in the cabins because the cabins can be, obviously, they're more expensive.
Sure.
But there's several places in the area that you can rent. I mean, obviously, it's going to bump up your cost a little bit. But you can rent a even just a pop-up. And sure. For a small fee, they'll set it up. They'll break it down. And there's really nothing you have to do. And it's still a very affordable way to stay on property. You're right there. It is still a Magic Kingdom resort. You have the... you know, all the amenities of any other Magic Kingdom resort, really. I think we'll get into that later, but...
Well, I mean, actually, that's a perfect segue to the next little piece that I wanted to discuss, because there are some unique transportation, both benefits and challenges of Fort Wilderness. You know, one of those benefits is that because you're right there, you know, just across the lagoon from the Magic Kingdom, you've got a boat launch that runs between the resort and the Magic Kingdom. It's the only moderate category resort that has, you know, boat access to one of the major theme parks.
Yeah, and that's a great thing, having that boat. It's such a nice thing at the end of the night, not having to cram in for the monorail. And it's, you know, it's great. Sometimes I would say about half of the time that we stay at Fort Wilderness, we don't even go to the park, and yet we still utilize that boat traffic either to go to the Contemporary or go to Wilderness Lodge or just take a boat ride. It's nice to have, and unless you're staying at, you know, the Port Orleans resorts or Deluxe, you're really not going to find it anywhere else.
Sure. Now, there are some unique transportation challenges presented by Fort Wilderness as well, and we've alluded to those a couple of times. Jeff, you want to talk a little bit about, you know, we talked about the nice part about Fort Wilderness is that, you know, you can check in without even having to exit your vehicle. We didn't really mention explicitly, but with the cabins, you know, you can generally park pretty close to your cabin. But there are some challenges as well. And Jeff, you want to talk a little bit about the internal transportation challenge?
Sure. The big issue is that Fort Wilderness is serviced by an internal bus, and that is your main way to get around the entire resort, either to buses that take you to other parts of Walt Disney World or to the settlement, which is going to have your Pioneer Hall, where you have the hoop-de-doo on all the dining, and it also takes you to buses to Wilderness Lodge and to the boats for the Magic Kingdom. So if you are staying in one of the campsites, you almost have to get on the internal bus to get to either of those two places to exit Fort Wilderness. Either way you go, there will be a transfer involved. The internal buses, I believe, are orange, purple, and yellow loops, and each of those services a different set of campsites. They all will go from the main entrance back to the Pioneer Hall area and then service their own different set of campsites.
Right. And in addition to the buses, John, there are some other options for getting around internally at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah. First of all, it depends on your site. There are some sites in the premium and the preferred that if you're camping there, you really don't need anything. You can walk to everywhere. It's not a long walk. It's basically like a walk across campus at any of the other resorts. But if you're in the full hookup sites, or if you're in the pop-up sites, or if you're in the cabins, you will need to consider transportation. The option that we most of the time will choose if we're not within walking distance is bicycle. We transport our bicycles with our trailer, so we have them. We don't have to pay extra, but if you don't have that option, you can rent them from the bike barn. I'm not sure exactly how much they cost per day, but imagine it'd be around maybe $15, $20 range.
Okay.
Then there's the most popular option at Fort Wilderness is a golf cart. And some of the campers turn their golf cart into a work of art. I mean, people will, if you have the option, if you have your own golf cart and you have the ability to transport it, you certainly can do that. If not, you can rent them. They cost, with tax, $63 per day. I'm sorry, $62 per day. And that's including tax. I know some people do rent them from outside companies for cheaper. I will say that what I've heard recently within the last couple of weeks is that Disney's really cracking down on that. So I don't know if that's still a viable option or not. But, you know, golf carts are a lot of fun. They're really fun way to travel through Fort Wilderness. You can really get anywhere on the grounds in Fort Wilderness in a short period of time. They have parking for the golf carts everywhere. They have places where you can plug in and charge your golf cart. So if you take it up the waterfront, you take boat transportation to Magic Kingdom, you can leave it charged the entire time. So you don't have to worry about coming back at 10 o'clock at night having your golf cart dead.
That would be pretty miserable.
Yeah, but what I will say, here's a tip for people to consider. If you're adverse to bus traffic, like I am, I refuse to take the Disney buses. I can't stand them. I refuse to take them. And your only other option is the golf cart, which, like I said, is $62 per night. A good thing to consider would be to upgrade your camping site instead. So if you're staying in a pop-up site and you can upgrade it to a premium site where you can walk everywhere, instead of spending $62 per night, it would only be a $43 per night increase.
That's a really great point. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm sure a lot of people just don't even think about the fact that, you know, they could spend literally two-thirds of what it would cost on the golf cart and simply have everything be more convenient by design.
Yeah, I mean, golf carts are fun. If you're renting the golf cart for fun, which we've done before, then obviously transportation is not an issue. But if you're renting it purely for transportation purposes, if you look at the cost difference to upgrade your site from the least expensive, which is the tent pop-up, to the most expensive, which is the premium, at any given time, it's going to be only about a $43 increase. But to rent a golf cart, at least last time we rented a golf cart, which was May, and I don't know if prices have increased since then, it was $62 per night. So sure, you're saving about $20 per night just by upgrading and walking. And like I said, it's not really a long walk. So just something to consider.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, those golf cart rates are going to stay artificially high because this process of, you know, cracking down on outside golf cart vendors has been a continuing thing for at least the last couple of years for Walt Disney World. You know, they tightened up on them a couple of years ago. We heard again that they were tightening down, and basically about a year ago, they started stopping the vendors from being able to deliver golf carts onto property. And it sounds like they may have stepped up that enforcement again, maybe another level, even within the last 2 weeks. And, you know, they have their own reasons. I understand that there are some, you know, safety and security concerns because, you know, if they're not dealing with their carts, they don't know that they're speed restricted, or they don't know that they've got the necessary safety equipment, or, you know, all these other things. But let's be honest, it also helps keep their prices high.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand it. It surprised me that they let it go as blatantly as it was. I mean, people were dropping them off in the parking lots, and that kind of surprised me they let it go for as long as they did. But what I've heard in the last couple of weeks is they're really cracking down on dropping them off in the overflow parking up in the front of Fort Wilderness. So
oh, wow.
We'll see. I'm sure it's, like you said, it's probably cyclical, so I'm sure it may relax a little bit in the future, but for right now, I've heard that that's something they're really looking at.
Now, see, of course, the next stage is that the rental companies will start allowing people to come to their rental, you know, to their sites, and they'll, you know, hook them up to people on a trailer. And
yeah, there's always a way around it, I'm
but,
sure.
But, you know, again, it's less convenient and inherently more expensive, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So aside from those transportation issues, and again, you know, we got some hints to some of these unique amenities that are available at Fort Wilderness that, you know, would make you want to have maybe a golf cart to get from place to place, because there's a really a lot to do at Fort Wilderness and a lot to experience, maybe enough that, you know, you can extend your vacation without spending more on park tickets by spending some time doing, as we called the show, exploring Fort Wilderness. You know, Jeff, you said you've experienced some of these recreational activities at Fort Wilderness. You want to talk about a couple of them here?
Sure. One big thing that they have every night is Chippendale's Campfire, which is a place where you can meet Chippendale absolutely free. They have, two large campfires going, and you can bring your hot dogs, your s'mores, and cook them right there. If you don't have them, they've got the chuck wagon where you can buy them on site. And after Chippendale come out, they have a cowboy that comes out and leads some campfire songs, and then they show a movie. And the movie is going every night unless it's, I think they cancel if it's pouring rain. And one of the more unique things about that campfire is one night around Halloween, they will actually show the segment from Ichabod Crane, Sleepy Hollow, and then the Headless Horseman that usually rides through the Halloween party will show up to the campfire.
Oh, cool.
And that's also where they do special events. I know in Halloween they do a pumpkin carving contest. They have some sort of, I think it's a golf cart decorated contest at Thanksgiving. Decorating is a big thing around special events in Fort Wilderness. And even if you don't stay there, it's worth going out, especially during Halloween and Christmas, to see what the campsites have set up, because there is a huge community feel, and you will find that just walking around and seeing what these elaborate displays are that each RV sets up is a good at least hour and a half worth of entertainment. There's also archery, horseback riding, pony riding. Actually, the horseback riding and the pony riding, they have at the Tri-Circle D Ranch, which the horseback riding meets up at the front of Fort Wilderness, and in the back they have the barn where they keep the horses. And if you go back there, you can also see a lot of historical details about Walt and horses in the parks, and that's where they store the Walt Disney World Calliope.
Oh, very cool. Again, you know, these are the kinds of activities that you might find at a full-service campground elsewhere, but, you know, they're run the way Disney runs things. So, you know, the stables are extraordinarily well-maintained. The animals are very well taken care of. You know, the archery supplies are all kept in top condition, and it's sort of the ideal version of campground recreational activities, I think, is the way I would put it.
Right, and you've got in the middle of the campground is where you have the main swimming pool, and you also have the bike barn where you can go and rent any bicycles you might need, and I believe they have other sporting equipment you can rent as well. As far as water bikes and pontoon boats, you can rent those at the boat dock. And there are a couple of small children's playgrounds that you can use as well.
Okay. So, John, is there anything we've left off of the, you know, list? I'm sure there are things we're forgetting, but things that come to your mind or that your family has especially enjoyed in terms of, you know, recreational activities at Fort Wilderness?
Well, I would just add to it that for 4th of July every year, on the 4th of July, they have a golf cart parade down Fort Wilderness Way, which is the main road. And it's not only the campground guests that are involved in the parade. It's actually, they'll have Goofy there. They'll have, I think Pluto's also there. So they'll have Disney characters. And, you know, everybody can just line up and you take your pictures. And so that's a nice thing. And yeah, I would recommend if you are staying in the campsites or at the campground in the month of December, forget the last tip that I told you. I would recommend getting a golf cart because you're going to want to tour each of the campground loops because the Christmas decorations are just unbelievable. Most of the time people camp at Christmas, they're there for a minimum of a week. It's very difficult to get a campsite, especially the 2 weeks leading up to Christmas, without extreme advance notice. So they go all out. They put out their Christmas decorations. And it's really something. It's an added, I hesitate to call it an added attraction to Disney World, but you could easily make a night of doing that. And then the other nice thing they have there during the holidays, Christmas time, is they also offer sleigh rides, horse-drawn sleigh rides.
Very nice.
So you could kind of make a night of that and the sleigh ride and then time it with watching Wishes down by the boat dock, and it really would be a really nice evening for the holidays.
Yeah, you know, talk about that a little bit because, I hear back from people a lot when we're talking about those Magic Kingdom area resorts, and, you know, people rave about the Wishes view from the beach at the Polynesian, and, you know, everybody knows that you've got that great observation deck at the Contemporary and some nice spots on the lawn at Grand Floridian. Wilderness Lodge has some weird angles and tree issues that maybe make it not such a great place to watch Wishes. So how does the Fort Wilderness view work?
Well, I've seen Wishes from Ohana, and I've seen Wishes from Narcoosee. And, you know, the view from Fort Wilderness is good. I'd say it's better than Wilderness Lodge. It's a little bit obstructed, not an awful lot. I mean, you're not going to see the castle or anything like that.
Okay.
But it's good. It's a good place. I mean, especially if you go, like I said, if you're a camper and you're without park tickets or you only want a limited amount of park tickets and not go every single day, you're going to get a good fireworks show without having to set foot or pay to go into the park. So that's nice. A lot of people will, and you can watch it from the beach, Clementine Beach. They have chairs laid out. So, I mean, if you go early enough or if you go during a not busy time, you could be lounged out on the beach and have a very good view. Probably not as good as the Polynesian, but, you know, pretty close. I don't think you're missing an awful lot. What I would say is if having the fireworks and the Wishes music going together is important to you, then you're going to want to be closer to the boat dock than to Clementine Beach because the music is piped in from a speaker next to the marina office, which is right as you enter the boat dock.
Okay.
So the further away you get from that, you're not going to be able to hear. If you're all the way at the end of the boat dock,
right,
you might have a slightly better view, but you're not going to be able to hear the music at all. If you're on the beach, you won't be able to hear the music at all. But, you know, other than that, I think the view is great. I mean, we go every time we're there at least one night, so it's definitely worth it. I think it's, you know, and aside from that, like the other resorts, you're also going to be able to see the electric boat pageant, which comes by just before Wishes. So, you know, it's a nice, again, it's a nice cost-effective way to end the evening at Disney World. You can very well put together a very cost-effective trip to Disney World by staying at Fort Wilderness.
Sure. Well, you know, there's also, I mean, we keep talking about, you know, Fort Wilderness is a budget destination, and that's all true, but there are also things available at Fort Wilderness that aren't available anywhere else. And you know, one good example of that is that there's only one other resort on property that I can think of that has both a dinner show and a character meal that happens, you know, right there on resort property. You know, Jeff, I know you're a big fan of the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. So why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, Hoop-Dee-Doo and Fort Wilderness?
Well, actually, the Hoop-Dee-Doo is having its 40th anniversary this year. It was started back in 1974 by a group of college kids, and they went into Pioneer Hall, which I believe in the beginning they tried to have it as a dining experience where you could also take nature tours, and that didn't go over very well. So they moved this Wild West comedy dinner show in there, which is very reminiscent of the Golden Horseshoe. Mm-hmm. And it is corny jokes, barbecue ribs and fried chicken, corn on the, well, cooked corn, mashed potatoes, cornbread, all you can drink beer and sangria and wine and soft drinks. And it's just a very fun evening.
I guess they're famous for their strawberry shortcake dessert.
They are famous for the strawberry shortcake dessert. Now, if you are a person who doesn't like audience participation, be on guard, because they do have a small performance during the show where they will pick four people to go on stage with them. Mm-hmm. But there aren't very many places on property where you can both swing your napkin in the air and play a washboard before you go home for the night.
And certainly not with unlimited beer.
That's for sure. And it's not just the Bud Light. They've also got Yuengling as an offering as well.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, you know, and the nice thing about it is that you know, Hoop-Dee-Doo is one of those shows that really kind of works on multiple levels. Like the you know, corny jokes and things are simple enough that, you know, the kids can appreciate the show and kind of have fun with it, even if they don't completely understand the jokes. And, you know, the adults get kind of another level of entertainment out of it.
Right. And every time I've been in there, you can see a complete variety of people with their families, couples honeymooning, all the way up to just large groups of people who have come in for no reason whatsoever. And it's not pigeonholed to any type of group.
Right, right. But I think you do raise a good point that it is a good destination for, you know, a group experience. If you've got a big group of people, it's a fun thing to do in sort of a communal atmosphere.
Right, and if you are worried about transportation issues, after the show they have buses waiting to take you back to any resort on Disney property. They're just stacked there waiting for you.
All right, very nice. And then, you know, John, in addition to the Hoop-Dee-Doo show, they have probably the most unique character dining experience on Disney property. Talk a minute about the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue.
Mickey's Backyard Barbecue is located behind Pioneer Hall. It's kind of set behind Pioneer Hall next to the Circle D Ranch. They only run two nights a week. It's Thursdays and Saturdays. It can be difficult to get, so reservations in advance are usually needed. But I think it's about an hour and a half. It's not your typical character meet and greet where the characters won't come, they don't come directly to your table, but in the hour and a half, they make themselves available. So if you want pictures or autographs, what it is basically, it's picnic style seating. You go choose your seat. And they bring out, I believe they have a buffet. It's your typical barbecue fare, ribs, chicken. They have pizza for the kids and stuff like that, burgers and hot dogs. It's also all you can, I say all you can drink. It's alcohol's included in this also.
Okay.
So that's another rarity to have two places like that on one property. The only other place, the only place that I know of is the Spirit of Aloha show in the Polynesian.
Yep.
But in that time, the characters, it's usually Mickey, Minnie, I believe Goofy, Chip, and Dale. It's subject to change, though. I think sometimes special occasions, I heard Phineas and Ferb were out there once.
Oh, nice.
But it's not a regular thing.
Sure.
But they do dances. They bring the kids up to dance. They dance around your table. They do, it's kind of like a hoedown. But like I said, they won't come, like if you're having dinner at Chef Mickey's, they don't come individually to meet with each one of you, but you can go up to them. It's not like a dance party either, where it's kind of frowned upon to go up and take a picture or have an autograph sign. It's not like that either. If you want, during your hour and a half, you can go up and meet them, but they don't really come to you. And I believe you might be able to meet them beforehand as well on your way in.
And see, what I really like about that is that, you know, if you've got, say you've got two or three kids, and you've got one kid who's really character shy, and I come up with this because I have a kid who is very character shy. You know, he loves Stitch, and that's the only character he likes. Every other character, no matter who it is, he doesn't want to get any closer than about 3 feet to him. And so, you know, we even did the breakfast at Ohana, you know, Lilo and Stitch's breakfast, because he wanted to do breakfast with Stitch. But, you know, when Lilo came around and when Mickey came around, he dived under the table. and he's seven. But he has a thing. He doesn't like the characters. Well, you know, in the setting like Backyard Barbecue, it is a nice way to ease kids into meeting characters like that, because they're there, they're available, they're interactive, but you get to go to them instead of them, you know, coming to you. And I think for somebody like my son, that makes a big difference, because it doesn't feel so much like this, you know, massive thing is invading your space. I mean, let's be blunt, you know, if Goofy is there that night, right? Goofy's huge.
Yeah.
And so I really like that a lot about the Backyard Barbecue, and I think it's unique among character meals being done that way.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know, it's a little bit more expensive. I don't have the actual price right now, but I know it's one of the ones that you do. I think they consider it more a show than a character meal, because it is one of the interactions that you do have to pay for in advance. When you make the reservation, you do have to pay for it then. So I think they consider it more to be a show than an actual, like, sit-down character meal.
Yeah, it ends up being kind of in between. If I'm remembering correctly, you're right, it is a little more expensive, and they do require advance payment, but it's less expensive than Spirit of Aloha or Hoop-de-Doo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it kind of fits a little bit in between.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Jeff, have you done the Backyard Barbecue?
I have not done the Backyard Barbecue.
Okay, I was curious. You know, the other thing to remember about it is, unfortunately, that because of the setting, really, it's only offered seasonally, which basically for Mickey's Backyard Barbecue means that during what is sort of the Disney winter season from January to, I think, early March, they do not offer the Backyard Barbecue at all. And then the rest of the year, it's two nights a week.
Yeah, that's typically the way they do it.
Okay, well, Jeff, why don't you instead take a minute and talk to us about, you know, the sort of, for lack of a better description, the standard table service dining option at Fort Wilderness, which is the Trails End Buffet.
Trails End is a buffet for breakfast and dinner, but it is a la carte for lunch right now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. it used to be one of those places where you could go for breakfast and then wait until they brought out lunch and then eat the lunch menu too. But it caught on to that.
Yeah, the super brunch is gone.
Right. But it is one of the cheaper places to eat on property. Breakfast is, you've got a fruit buffet, you've got Mickey waffles, French toast, biscuits and gravy, breakfast pizza. What else? A scrambled egg, sausage, bacon, and almost every Danish that you can think of. And your choice of orange juice, milk, whatever soft drinks you'd like. And dinner is typically a salad, peel and eat shrimp. They have a series of vegetables, usually a fish, typically salmon. They have fried chicken, baked chicken, ribs, a couple of carving meats every night, pizza, I believe chicken nuggets as well, chili, cornbread. It's a massive amount of food that you can choose from there. And lunch is a la carte. They also have a takeout window at Trails End where you can get fried chicken to go. I actually have done the Trails End takeout a couple of times because you can, for $23, you can get, I think, a bucket of 10 pieces of chicken and two large sides and cornbread for $23 when eating it. Trails In for dinner is around that price per adult, and that bucket of chicken can feed 2, 3, or 4 adults easily.
Nice.
And you are right next to the Hoopty Doo, so you're getting pretty much the same food that you would get at the Hoopty Doo, but with a little bit of better selection. And you are also very close to the Magic Kingdom boat dock as well. So if you want to head out to the parks immediately afterwards, you have that option.
So if you can't tell, folks, Jeff here is a big fan of Trails End.
Their cornbread is some of the best cornbread I've ever had. I know Aaron's been there a couple times and not cared too much for the service. I've never had an issue there at all with that. But There were some times when I was going to Trails End enough where they would recognize me coming back.
Hey, you know, that's high praise. I mean, I think that your assessment is perfectly valid, and you know, I have my complaints, but you're right. I mean, you know, I've only been there the couple of times. You're the veteran. You've seen it through all. My guess is I just caught him on a bad day.
And you can have that at any restaurant or property.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's that Trails End is one of my favorite staples to go to eat at a property. The one downside about Fort Wilderness is you don't really have the grab and go counter service options that you would have at like a food court, say at one of the moderates, or you don't have the equivalent of something like the Contempo Cafe at the Contemporary, where you can just walk up, grab a sandwich, and then walk away. Because they just don't have the resources for it there.
Right, right. Although, you know, John, you want to talk about, there are a couple other options, you know, available for more limited food and drink.
They do have a pool bar at the Meadow Swimming Pool, and that's typical of basically most of the deluxe pool bars. You know, you get a cheeseburger, you can get pizza, stuff like that. So if you're at Meadow Swimming Pool around lunchtime or maybe dinner, you can grab something there. Like Jeff was saying, we utilize the takeout window quite a bit. We usually do it for breakfast if we're not going to sit down at the buffet. And, you know, that's a cheap way. I won't say that they're the quickest You would expect it to be a lot quicker, being that they're just pulling stuff off of the buffet.
Right.
Somehow it manages to take them quite some time for biscuits and gravy, but still, you get two very large biscuits and tons of gravy to go for $3.63, I believe. And, you know, occasionally my wife and I will just split that. We'll eat on a picnic table outside. We'll get my my daughter something, and then as soon as we're done with that, we'll get on the boat and go. So really, there's not really any other options. Of course, there's Crockett's Tavern, which is inside Trail's End. They have the sweeping porch that goes around Pioneer Hall. They have the exterior drink window, and you can order drinks, which is a really great thing to do in the evening. You can go and order a drink without having to go inside, grab a Kona Longboard or Sam Adams and sit in a rocking chair and just enjoy the evening. But they do also offer food. I think just typical bar fare, chicken wings, appetizers. I don't think they have anything heavy. There's a small bar on the inside that you can't sit at, but most of the seating, other than the seats at the bar, is reserved for Trails End Overflow. Oh. It rarely gets that busy where they need those spots, but it's kind of tight in there, so that's why when we drink at Crockett's, I usually prefer to just sit outside and enjoy the evening. That's pretty much the extent of it. I feel the same way as Jeff. We like Trails End. We go there at least once a trip when we're camping there. You know, I've had some experiences there that were not the greatest. Not so much with the food, but it's for as much as they have on the buffet, the setup is kind of tight. It's very small, and so occasionally you can get really backed up where it could take you, you could be up at the buffet for 10, 15 minutes just trying to get something.
Right, right.
So that's really the biggest issue that we've had with it, but we've liked the food and we've gone for breakfast and for dinner. I've never been there for lunch, ordering a la carte. Usually we'll take the boat and go over to either Wilderness Lodge or Contemporary or somehow end up at the Polynesian Captain Cook's, but you know, I like the food options at Fort Wilderness. I really do.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that just sort of as an aside, because it's something that we kind of glossed over when we talked about transportation, and we mentioned the boat launch that takes you from Fort Wilderness to the Magic Kingdom, but, you know, what we didn't talk about is that there's more than just that one boat that travels from Fort Wilderness. There's actually a boat that does sort of a circuit of the other Magic Kingdom resorts. And so you actually have really pretty nice and in a lot of ways unique access to the other Magic Kingdom area resorts, which gets you easy access to a lot of really nice dining options on top of what's available right there at Fort Wilderness, because those boat launches will stop at you know, Wilderness Lodge, they'll stop at the Polynesian, they'll stop at Contemporary, and they'll stop at the Grand Floridian. And, you know, that opens a whole big world of dining options without even having to enter a park.
Well, actually, the boat will either go straight to the Magic Kingdom, or there is another boat that will circle between Wilderness Lodge, Contemporary, and Fort Wilderness. So if you're going to go to Polynesian or Grand Floridian, you'd have to transfer to another boat or a monorail.
Oh, okay. Right. So you're having to do boat shuffling.
Right. And there is also the option, there is a direct shuttle bus between Fort Wilderness around Pioneer Hall and the front door of Wilderness Lodge.
Okay. Nice. That's good to know.
It's also if you you go without the kids, which my wife and I have done occasionally, not very often. It's a great place to bar hop. You can get take the boat over to the Contemporary, do the monorail resort, and never have to put the keys in the ignition. So it's a nice evening that way as well.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a good point. So I think we've covered really a nice overview of Fort Wilderness and talked about, you know, some of the unique options that are there. Is there anything else that you think people ought to kind of keep in mind if they're considering Fort Wilderness for a Walt Disney World vacation?
I would think that the big thing is with Fort Wilderness, you need to book early, because every time I've tried to go, it's almost calendar heading by the day and not by the week to find an opening. If in peak times, especially when the snowbirds are down in Florida, it is very difficult to get into Fort Wilderness.
Okay, yeah, and there you're talking specifically really about the campgrounds.
Right.
That you know, do book up, particularly in those, summer months when in the winter months when the snowbirds are fleeing the north.
Right. It if you are interested in getting a campsite for that time period, you may be looking at finding one or two off days on a random night just to get in there, because there are people who will book these sites well in advance, and they will book them for, I think you can stay there for up to 30 days.
Yeah, you know, here's where you remember where it's important to take advantage of knowing the rules, right? So you can book a room only reservation at Walt Disney World, which a campsite, if you do a campsite without tickets, it's considered essentially a room only reservation, and you can book room only reservations 499 days in advance. You can do it even if rates for that year haven't been officially released yet. You can call in, you can make that reservation. You have to understand that the price may change. It will probably go up some. But 499 days in advance, you can get your spot locked in. And I don't generally recommend doing it, because I think it's kind of dangerous to book blind like that and not know what the pricing is going to be. And I think that you run the risk of, kind of a lot of wasted effort, since if you're going to add tickets and things once the official pricing is released, you're really rebooking anyway, and you're going to have to make a new deposit. But this is the one situation where going ahead and booking that full 499 days in advance is probably advised, just to make sure you get that spot that you want.
That's absolutely right. It is very popular, especially around the holiday season. And if you don't have something well in advance, you're just not going to get in. There's no question about it.
All right. John, any other kind of parting thoughts, important tips that you think people should know if they're thinking about a vacation stay at Fort Wilderness?
I would just say that, don't let the stigma of it's camping deter you. Like I said, there's options that you have, even if you don't have, a RV or a trailer or anything like that, and you refuse to camp in a tent. There is the cabin if you're not really concerned about the cost. The other thing about the cabins is, yes, it's more expensive than the campground, but it's on par, if not, in my opinion, better than a DVC, a one-bedroom DVC, renting one of those or, a similar, villa, and it's cheaper than that. So, if you're looking into renting a DVC one bedroom or a villa from Disney, really give the cabins a good look, because I think for what you get and the amenities surrounding you and the location, I think that that's going to be the best way to go.
That's a really good point. I think people kind of, take that deep breath when they see the pricing for the cabins and they're comparing it to a standard room in a moderate resort. And, it feels like the cabins maybe are overpriced. And they do that without taking into consideration the fact that the cabins accommodate 6 and the other moderate resort rooms accommodate at a maximum 5. If you're in the Alligator Bayou section of Port Orleans Riverside. And that it's the only option outside of a DVC villa that's going to offer you, a full kitchen. It's a small kitchen, but a full kitchen. And you don't even get that in, you know, a studio room in a DVC resort. You have to get at least a one bedroom. And now we're talking about a substantially more expensive stay.
Right. Yeah, to me, that's your best option. If you're looking at that, renting straight from Disney, obviously, if you're renting DVC points, then the cost differential might sway the other way. But, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with the cabins because I have a travel trailer. Sure. And we camp. But like I said, what I would say is don't let the stigma of this is camping deter you from exploring Fort Wilderness. If you're not sure about it and you're kind of on the fence but you don't want to check it out, when you go to Disney, even if you're staying at an All-Star or wherever it is that you decided to stay instead, go over for an evening, book a Trails End reservation, and you know, explore. Jump on a bus, take it to Chippendale's Campfire Sing-Along, watch the fireworks, really get a good look at Fort Wilderness and really see what it's about. And, you know, to me, there's no better place to be. I'm a resort guy, so I could spend an entire trip outside of the parks. I love the parks, but I like the theming and the quality of Disney resorts. And to me, Fort Wilderness, I'm sure I'm biased, but Fort Wilderness just has the best of everything. So I just think that, you know, kind of get over that that stigma that it's you're camping and you're in the wilderness and you know, things like that, and really give it a good look.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the last thing that I would want to say is really to you know, play or to extend what you're just saying about Fort Wilderness is, you know, appreciate Fort Wilderness for what it is. You spend all day in the theme parks, in the hustle and bustle and crowd and crazy, and going back to a quiet, somewhat more secluded space is a really nice respite. And especially, I mean, I hear people who have kids who have sensory issues talk about how, oh, they've got to stay at the Contemporary because it's a quick access. They can walk right to the Magic Kingdom and walk back. And while that's great, I can't imagine what the sensory overload is for a kid who's already got sensory issues. You know, walking back through their resort with the monorail coming through and the craziness of Chef Mickey's and, you know, the Contemporary, the lobby of the Contemporary is a loud, bustling place. And you compare that to the relaxed and quiet feel of a place like Fort Wilderness, it just seems to me that it's a missed opportunity. You know, you can really kind of escape, and you can get the best of both worlds. You can get the fun, crazy hustle and bustle of the parks and still have a more relaxing part of your vacation as well back at the resort in a much more relaxed setting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, like I've said before, we typically will just stay at the campground, and even the days that we do go to Magic Kingdom or wherever, we kind of feel like we're missing out by, you know, not spending time at the campground, because there is so much to do there. So if you don't want to relax, there's plenty of stuff to do. And, you know, if you want to relax, just spend some time at your camper or down at Crockett's Tavern having a drink, or even, you know, at the pool. The pool is gorgeous. I know we talked about it. You know, to me, it's a moderate to deluxe type pool. I mean, you have a nice slide, and, you know, they remodeled it several years ago. So there's just, you can, in my opinion, you can customize your own vacation if you stay at Fort Wilderness. You can have a relaxing stay, or you can constantly be busy. It's just something that you don't really get at a lot of the other resorts.
All right. Well, any last thoughts, Jeff?
Not really. This is just one of the most relaxing places you can go to, and the amount of things to do, you could actually stay in Fort Wilderness without going to a theme park and never be bored.
All right. Absolutely. Well, you know, you've heard what we think about Fort Wilderness, and you've heard us discussing it. But we'd love to hear from you and hear maybe about your experiences with Fort Wilderness or things that, you know, you were wondering about. You can email us at podcast@disdads.com. visit our blog, DizDads.com. Tweet us at DizDadsPodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And we're on Facebook, too, at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with John Scanlon.
Everybody have a good night.
And Jeff Swearingen.
Good night.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.